Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Watch carefully and don't blink, because there's magic in that paintbrush. Brian Tom is using it to wake up the spirit of that rainbow-colored lion. And soon, with the help of other artists, that lion will be ready to jump up and dance. Looks like I could be way at the other side of the world, but really I'm in a very special neighborhood right in the heart of New York City, Chinatown. I'm looking forward to spending the day here, enjoying all the wonderful sights, sounds, and flavors of a very special neighborhood with a very special way of life. Lots of what you see in this neighborhood is probably very much like what you see in your own, but other things are deliciously different. An old friend with a new look, eating bok choy or kumquats for lunch, good luck dragons lurking on street signs, and dancing lions. Lions are just one way that Chinese culture is unique. In Western stories, lions are often fierce and dangerous. But in Chinese mythology, instead of hurting people, lions help them by chasing away evil spirits and bringing good luck. For thousands of years, Chinese people have done lion dances to celebrate any happy occasion or new beginning. Weddings, New Year's, even the grand opening of a store. As part of the dance, wise men feed the lions lucky foods, lettuce and tangerines. In return, the lions bring good fortune. Brian Tom, the one putting on the lion's head, started learning the lion's dance when he was only 6. It takes years and years to learn the dance, and only the very best dancers are given the special honor of dancing inside the lion's head. This evening, after all their practice and hard work, the musicians and dancers will make these lions come to life. Making something come to life is part of the magic of being an artist of any kind. Imagine what would happen if everything you drew came to life. Well, that's what happens in this book, Liang and the Magic Paintbrush. It's the story of a boy who wants to be an artist more than anything else in the whole world.
See you more, Socha. Liang and the Magic Paintbrush by Demi. Long ago in China, a boy named Liang earned money gathering firewood and cutting reeds. His one wish was to paint, but he could not afford to buy a brush. One day, he passed an art school and went in. "I want so much to paint," he said. "Please, will you teach me?" "What?" the teacher glared at him. "A beggar wants to paint." He drove Liang away. But Liang could not keep his fingers still. When he went to gather firewood, he drew birds in the sand with a twig. One night, as he slept, an old man appeared on a phoenix and placed a brush in Liang's hand. "It is a magic paintbrush. Use it carefully," the old man said, and flew away. Liang jumped for joy. thank you so much, he called after the old man. Immediately, Liang began to paint. He painted deer. As he finished, he saw that the deer came to life. It really was a magic paintbrush. I will paint things for my poor friends, he thought. And he painted toy birds, horses, lanterns, and balls for the children. Then he went to the marketplace and set up a table among the other merchants. And he made pictures of birds to sell. To make sure the birds did not come to life, he left something out. One day, a man asked for a picture of a crane. Liang gave it only one eye. But by accident, one drop of ink fell where the second eye should have been, and the crane flew away. Now everyone knew about Liang's magic brush, including the greedy emperor. He went out with all his soldiers to take the brush away from Liang. But Liang refused to give it up. The emperor ordered him bound and brought to the palace. There, the emperor ordered Liang to paint a dragon. But Liang painted a toad instead. Furious, the emperor seized the brush and ordered Liang imprisoned. The greedy emperor then sat down to paint mountains of gold, but they turned into rocks and rolled off the table. The emperor tried again. He painted a large tree. But what do you think happened? It turned into an enormous python, which nearly bit the emperor's head off. Liang knew the brush would lose its magic in the emperor's hands. He thought of a plan, and he sent word to the emperor saying that in exchange for his freedom, he would paint whatever the emperor wished. The emperor accepted. Paint me the sea, the emperor ordered. Liang drew a sea. Where are the fish? The emperor asked. Liang drew and drew, and soon a sea full of fish were swimming about.
So long as we have a sea, said the emperor, let us have a boat.
Liang painted a boat, which was soon bobbing about on the water. Delighted, the emperor called the royal family to come and join him on the boat.
Get us some wind so we can move, cried the emperor.
Happily, Liang painted wind and the boat began to rock.
More wind, the emperor cried.
Liang drew more wind and more. Soon, waves were splashing and crashing over the deck.
Enough, the emperor cried.
But Liang would not listen. He drew so much wind, the boat keeled over and broke into a million pieces. The emperor and the royal family sank to the bottom of the sea. The story of Liang and his magic paintbrush spread far and wide. But what became of Liang? Nobody knows. Some say that he went back to his own village. Others say that he roamed the earth, painting for the poor, wherever he went.
Nobody knows exactly what happened to Liang. But I have a feeling a little bit of him lives on in all of us. Even ordinary Chinese writing like this looks like the work of an artist. In fact, the art of Chinese calligraphy is the work of highly respected artists who study for years to develop their skills. Let's go visit a calligrapher's studio and see how he works.
Dr. Leon Cheng is one of the finest calligraphers in the whole world. Ink, inkstone, paper, brushes. These are the four treasures of the Chinese calligrapher. Young friends in ancient Chinese characters. No work of Chinese art or calligraphy is finished until the artist stamps his own special seal in bright red.
Many Chinese people, especially artists and scholars, have their own seals, just like this one. It's like having your own personal sign or symbol cut in stone. It's very beautiful, Mr. Xi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This one was made for me by Mr. Xi, a master seal carver who just came to this country from the city of Shanghai in the People's Republic of China. A carver like Mr. Xi spends 20 years studying to master his art. First he learns painting, then calligraphy, then how to cut in stone.
Mr. Xi wants to seal back. It isn't quite finished yet. You have to put the dedication on the stone.
The dedication? The dedication is being carved into the soapstone with a carving knife that's very, very sharp. Every artist signs his work, and the dedication is Mr. Xi's signature that this is his work of art.
Huh.
Okay.
Finished?
Yeah.
What does the dedication say, Miranda?
To Mr. LeVar from Mr. Xi.
Thank you very much.
I'll show you how to use.
Now he'll show you how to use the stamp.
Oh, please, yeah. What is this? Is this ink?
Yes, it's called vermilion.
Ah.
Just
get it all over there like that, huh? Press real hard, and then just lift.
Yeah.
Ah.
Hong Lu.
The seals means man who dwells in the rainbow.
Man who dwells in the rainbow. It's wonderful. Now can I put a stamp in my book?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
There. Now everyone will know this book belongs to me. Liang was an artist who brought things to life. Mr. Shi is an artist who works in stone. The artists at the New York Institute of Technology are creating pictures using modern tools that are part magic paintbrush, part computer, and part pure imagination. Imagine painting with light instead of paint or ink. It's like painting with a rainbow that has over 16 billion colors. Watch.
Painting with a computer is similar to painting at home. The difference is we use an electronic pen, we use a tablet, and we display our pictures on a monitor. Hi, I'm Larry Green. I'd like to welcome you to the New York Institute of Technology Computer Graphics Lab. Right now I'm working on the dragon boat that Liang was painting for the evil emperor. The first thing I have to do is use the keyboard in order to start up the program. And now, we're ready to make a painting. Here are all my choices displayed on the VT-100. I've made a special brush to paint the body of the dragon boat. This is how it works. You can see it puts in the textures for me. But we can even do that faster. We can go in and fill that area. So now we've got all the patterns we need for the dragon. Now we're going to change the boat just slightly so it has more dimension. Now, in order to save time, I did some drawings earlier. I saved those drawings in the computer, and I can recall those drawings and show you exactly what I've done. You can see how I put in a nice slithery red tongue in here, and the contrast of the blue horns. That's important to make the dragon look so glamorous. And in come the emperor and his slaves who are going to row the boat. The oars are red, and the reason they're red is that they stand out against the rest of the colors. And they help us when we want to create movement. Now, what happens if I want to change something on the picture? It looks good in this state, but we can still make changes. And watch what happens when I magnify. See that? I changed the color of the eyes to red. But I don't really think that red suits the dragon. I think the green was the right choice. So let's go back and pick that green. There, now we're back to normal. Now, wouldn't it be nice to put our dragon boat in its proper setting? Something like an ocean scene. Here we're combining our animation with the background and our original dragon boat painting. It looks like there's a storm brewing too. The clouds are starting to get darker and the water is getting rougher. I guess you can see why I like working on the computer. It has a lot to offer. We can adjust things, we can make some movement, we can even change colors. Before I say goodbye, let's take a look and see what happens to the evil emperor.
One of my favorite things about visiting Chinatown is the food. You know, Chinese cooking is really a very special art. But instead of using paintbrush, ink, and paper, or even computer and light pen, some of the raw ingredients are lo ba, Chinese white turnip, choy sum, which is baby bok choy, ginger, and even lotus root. You know, all this is making me pretty hungry. Why don't we go to one of my favorite Chinese restaurants, the Mandarin Inn Pell, and meet my good friend Alex Wong as he prepares a feast fit for an emperor. Alex, it smells delicious. What is this?
I'm serving you the Grandma Wong's chicken soup today.
Grandma Wong's chicken soup, huh? What's in this now?
It has the whole chicken cut in pieces and then serve and put in with fresh ginger and scallions.
Boy, it smells great.
And takes about 3 hours to cook this.
3 hours for one pot of soup?
Right. That's for you.
Well, I love chicken soup.
Great.
I love chicken soup.
Try it, you'll love it.
You think so, huh? Outrageous. I love it.
Great.
Delicious. I love it. So what's for our main course now?
Oh, I'm having a Mongolian beef for you. Is it okay?
Mongolian beef. Terrific, yeah. So while I'm eating my soup, you're going to prepare the beef?
Yeah.
All right.
Very important, keep the knife sharp. Mm-hmm. And that way you don't cut your fingers.
Right.
You see? Vegetable oil now in the wok.
Mm-hmm. The wok is a really traditional cooking tool for Chinese, isn't it?
Yeah, you could cook a lot of food in the wok because mm-hmm. it's very deep. Mm-hmm. And also, you heat up the food evenly.
Alex, this looks great.
Yeah, this is
absolutely
a Mongolian beef.
A Mongolian beef. Alex's specialty, huh?
Right. Mm.
Delicious.
Great.
Delicious.
Glad you like it.
You know, I think I'm finally beginning to master the art of eating with chopsticks here. Well, almost. Delicious. I love it. It's great. What's for dessert?
Oh, we have the candied banana for you.
Candied bananas. Great.
Right.
I'll finish this while you get the bananas, right?
Okay.
Okay.
This is the honey candy banana.
Outrageous.
Okay, LaVar, this is the candied banana for you.
Candied bananas.
Yeah.
Looks delicious. Thank you. How do you say thank you in Chinese?
Oh, thank you in Chinese is xie xie.
Xie xie.
Yeah.
Now, Alex, you've made so much food here, I can't possibly eat it all. You must sit down and join me.
Sure, I'd be loved to.
Okay. Did you know that in China, nobody eats Chinese fortune cookies? Well, it's true. They're strictly a Chinese-American invention. But for me, no Chinese meal is complete without one of these curly, crunchy cookies and a glimpse into the future. Let's see. You can't judge a book by its cover. Well, you certainly don't have to, because if you enjoyed Li Yang and the Magic Paintbrush, here's some other books that you might like. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, friends. My name is Jacobia Cunningham. I just got to read a terrific book named Emma. She was a 72-year-old lady who was lonely every day. So one day she said, I'm going to go buy me some paints and a brush and an easel. Then she painted a lot of things and she was never lonely again. The pictures in this book were very bright and nice. One of my favorite pictures in the book was when Emma and her cat named Pumpkin Seeds sat in the sun curling their toes. My final statement is that you can never be lonely if you're creative. That's what this book is all about. Signing off, Jacobia Cunningham.
Hello, my name is Tina Ingracia, and I like to draw very much. So if you'd like to draw, I think you'll enjoy this book called If You Take a Pencil by Fulvio Testa. One of the nicest things about the book is the illustrations. They're realistic and very nice. Lots of colors, and if you look closely, you'll see things that happen later on in the story, which give you clues about what's going to happen later. The very best picture in the whole book was the last one. It was the mystery of the whole story. It took you right back to the beginning. And you know what? I think a pencil is a real treasure.
Hi, I'm Anne Michelle Harrington. That's Anne Michelle with one L. When I was 5 or 6, I wished I could play the piano, but I never got my chance till I was 8. In a way, it relates to the book I just read, Ben's Trumpet, by Rachel Isidora. Ben wants to play the trumpet so much, He goes around pretending he has a trumpet all the time. One day, he was standing in front of the Zigzag Jazz Club, and the boys across the street said, "Hey, man, what you think you're doing?" And he said, "I'm playing my trumpet." And he said, "Man, you're crazy. You ain't got no trumpet." And he started to walk away sadly, just as the trumpeter came out for his lunch break. The trumpeter said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I don't have a trumpet." And he said, "Well, maybe we can fix that." And he went inside, and he let Ben blow on his trumpet for a little while. Remember, Aunt Michelle is telling you to read this book because it says, never lose hope. And everybody needs to hear that once in a while.
Look, every color in the rainbow. The streets of Chinatown are especially magical at night. It's as if someone has painted the town with a giant magic paintbrush. You know, we haven't even begun to delve into all the treasures that Chinatown has to offer, but now it's time for the lion dance. The Chinese seem to have a knack for making an art out of even the most ordinary things. Writing, carving, cooking, even the way they celebrate the opening of a new store.
Wow, would you like to join us?
Boy, would I love to!